chapter 15, John chapter 15, and we've been preaching for several weeks now from this text where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And tonight we're going to look specifically at that phrase there in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. And so much could be said. I feel I could preach for a couple more weeks from this passage. Maybe we will. Maybe the Lord will have me move on. But I want us to come back again and look at this passage, and I want us to see this. Consider this imperative: abide in me. You found your place there. I don't hear pages rustling. So let me have you go ahead and stand if you're able as we read this passage, John chapter 15, verses 1 through. Let's read down through verse 11. John 15, 1 through 11, and let's read this responsively. I'll read a verse. We'll read a verse together. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In verse 11 together, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we have been given this allegory to help us understand the relationship that we have with Christ. Christ, the vine, us, the branches. Father, our lives are to be lived in union with Christ, bearing divine fruit. Father, I pray that, Lord, we would see the importance, the necessity of abiding. Father, I pray that we would see the absolute futility of trying to bear our own fruit. Father, help us to see the simplicity of life in Christ. Father, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray that your Spirit would fill me and use me in this hour as I preach your word. We love you and we thank you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Abide in me, and I in you. You know, in this command, we find basic foundational principles for the Christian life. You know, and this imperative that we've been given, abide in me, reminds us that the Christian life is not a do-gooder, try-harder, works-based religion. There is to be something supernatural that takes place in the life of a believer. A fruit that God produces. Again, we bear the fruit, and this fruit bearing is not entirely apart from us. This fruit is born in our lives, but it is fruit that God Himself must produce. You know, I remember not long after I came here to pastor, I was really struggling with one particular aspect of the doctrine of salvation. And you know, everybody professes faith in Christ, and yet so many lack a true fruitfulness. And I had talked to a pastor in the area, a faithful, humble servant. His name was Arnold Fair, And I asked him that question, how can you know if someone is truly born again? And he said, well, the answer is simple. And there is a life that they possess that would not be there apart from God. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here in this passage. That there is a fruitfulness. There is fruit that exists in your life that would not be there apart from Christ. And again, it's not that we all bear the same level of fruit, it's all divine fruit, but it's manifested in various ways in our life. But I want to remind us tonight that if the fruit in your life is a fruit that you produce or that you can produce, Christianity is not genuine. And again, I know who I'm preaching to. You're here on Sunday night, okay? I want to ask you on the onset of this message, do you know anything about this life that comes from God? This life that flows from the vine and that bears fruit in our lives. You know, we see this phrase, and we're going to look at it tonight. Jesus says, abide in me. We're going to consider that for the message tonight. But, you know, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. And, you know, as I look at that phrase, and I in you, I take that to mean a promise. You know, Jesus says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. If you abide in me, you can know that I am abiding in you. You can rest assured that I am abiding in you. But Jesus instructs us. Jesus instructed His disciples and us to abide in Him. And I want to look at that phrase. Several things that phrase, several principles that we can draw from that phrase. First of all, number one, abide in me is an invitation for the believer to accept. It's an invitation. Abide in me. It's an invitation to be fruitful. It's an invitation to experience Christ to the fullest. It's an invitation to bear the fruit of Christ in your life. You see this imperative, abide in me. It reminds us to how fruit is produced. And we got to look at this a few weeks ago as we considered this and we talked about good fruits and the fruit that Christ wants to bear in our lives. But I don't want to belabor the point, but Christ is the vine. We are the branches. God the Father is the husbandman. He's the one caring for the vine, and His concern is the fruitfulness in your life. And Jesus is the one who produces the fruit, but we bear the fruit. It is His fruit, but it is seen in our life. This points to the simplicity of life in Christ. The simplicity of the Christian life. The fruit bearing, your fruit bearing, the fruitfulness of your life is done by abiding. The word abide, to remain, to stay. To abide in Him. You see, if you're here tonight and you say, my desire, my greatest desire is to bear good fruit, God-honoring fruit, fruit not for my glory, not so that others will say, ooh, look at him, look at her, but to give glory to Christ. Listen, the instructions for bearing fruit are simple. Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in me. You know, one of the diversions that hinder us as a Christian is that we, through conviction, become painfully aware of fruit that's absent in our lives. And there's a particular fruit, and you see the tendency is then to focus on that fruit. Well, I'm anxious. I need more peace. I need His peace, and we pursue peace, and we want more peace. Listen, we don't bear fruit by focusing on that fruit. You don't produce peace by focusing on peace. It is a byproduct of abiding in Christ. It's a byproduct of the divine presence in your life. You know, maybe we come to realize how selfish and self-centered we are. And oh, I know I need to love others more and I need to give of myself more. And listen, you don't focus on love apart from Christ. Or I'm discouraged and I need more joy. I need to be a happier Christian and I want to have more joy, more joy, more joy. And listen, there is no joy, no real joy, no true joy apart from Jesus. Jesus says, abide in me. You know, some people will say, well, I just need to be a more patient person. And they're probably right. They do need to be a more patient person. But you know, listen, if you could produce patience that does not come from your relationship with Christ, it does not flow out of this abiding presence of Christ in your life, then it is not biblical patience. Maybe it's compassion, maybe it's altruism, maybe it's morality, but it is not biblical patience. You see, Christ has given every single one of us an invitation to come and to bear His fruit. Wouldn't you like a little bit more of His fruit in your life? You see, show me somebody that heeds this instruction, that answers this invitation, that abides in Christ. And I'll show you somebody who is bearing the fruit of love and joy and peace. You know, in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth. What are those next two words? Much fruit. Notice that last phrase. Say it with me. For without me, ye can do nothing. You see, that this our focus is to abide in Christ. This is the only way that God honoring fruit will be born in your life. There is nothing else. There is nothing else that can bear the fruit of Christ in your life. Levi, can you put that book down, please? Thank you, bud. See, it is by abiding. Abide in me. See, activity will not do it. You know, churches are busy. Busy. Busy in every way. And they've got sports leagues and basketball leagues and baseball leagues and after school tutoring programs and daycares and breakfast for businessmen and programs for the arts and music and drama and dance. And they've got all kinds of activity, but we have to ask ourselves, is it bearing fruit? You see, is the world seeing the divine nature, the fruit of an abiding relationship with Christ being fashioned in its members? You see, I want to remind us that a lot of times activity replaces true spirituality. You can give somebody a job and give them a title and boy, they'll work themselves crazy serving here and serving there, but have a prayer meeting and see who shows up. You see, activity will not produce fruit. Education will not produce fruit. Learning the names and the stories and listen, as wonderful as biblical knowledge is, I want to remind us that learning about the Scripture is not a substitute for abiding. Jesus said, abide in me. See, I want to remind us that, you know, the need in the church in America today is not to learn more. It's to obey what they've learned. Yeah, I heard the story of a preacher once. He stood up on Sunday morning after the singing and all the preliminaries, and he read just one verse, and then he closed his Bible and announced that the crowd was to be dismissed. He said, you don't need to hear anymore. You've already heard more than you're living. See, soaking up more information does not equate to being closer to Christ. Jesus says, abide in me. Imitation won't do it. People that you respect and admire, and there is a place for following someone who follows Christ. Paul, in his epistle to the church at Corinth, boy, the church at Corinth would have been well advised to follow Christ and to try to be more like the Apostle Paul. But understand, they're only going to bear the fruit of Christ if they have that connection to Christ, if Christ is their vine, and they're a branch that is connected to that vine, and they're bearing out the fruit of Christ in their life. They must have that same connection. Listen, association is not going to do it. Being around people who know Christ. And that's one of the dangers of having all the activity and all the programs and ministering to this felt need and that felt need and ministering to these needs without the divine presence to have this club or that club. People, they just want to be around good, wholesome people, and they'll find themselves enjoying that company and it makes them feel better, but there is no connection to the vine. They're not abiding in Christ. See, ministry must be done His way. You know, I think about Christ's ministry even as He speaks these very words. His ministry is fast coming to a close. There's simply a limited number of hours, even minutes, that He has left to teach and train His disciples and to look at His ministry. His ministry was anything but spectacular by earthly standards. You know, as Jesus has, yes, he has spoken to crowds, but they have turned their back on Him and they have forsaken Him. But Jesus has poured Himself into 11 men for these last 3.5 years. And even then, as Jesus is arrested and He's going to be crucified, His disciples themselves are going to be scattered. And Jesus told these men to abide in Him and they would bear fruit. And those are the men that turned the world upside down. You see, they did bear fruit, and I want to remind us that, you know, we sometimes have the idea that we need to do something spectacular, and God wants us to do something that looks rather ordinary, and yet the results are spectacular. You know, I think about this church, a country church, it seems so ordinary, but yet a country church that's growing and thriving and that God is blessing and lives are being changed. You see, that is something that is supernatural. Abide in Me is an invitation that each one of us must accept. Abide in Me, I want to say this next, is a command to obey. You see, this imperative, Jesus speaks to His disciples. Verse 4, abide in Me and I in you. You see, it's more than just an invitation. It's more than just information telling them about how they can bear fruit. There's an imperative here. It's a command. Jesus is commanding His disciples, abide in Me. Now, Jesus has just told them in the previous chapters that He is going away. And He's told him that He is going away, and that has troubled His disciples. And yet Jesus tells His disciples, even though I'm going away, and though you want to be with Me in My presence physically, you cannot come. But listen, even though you cannot be with Me physically, you can abide in Me. Abide in Me. You know, here the Savior on their way to the garden speaks these words, abide in Me. Unfortunately, the disciples didn't heed. They forsook Him. They fled. You know, I think about myself. You know, maybe in an area that where the I'm uncertain, or maybe an area that really truly is dangerous. And you know, what do you tell your children? You know, I tell mine, stay close to Me. Stay close to Me. You know, sometimes in our travels, we end up stopping at rest stops or gas stations that look a little sketchy. Stay close to Me. You know, sometimes in a busy area and there's just a lot going on and the busyness could separate them from Me. And you know, the command is stay close to Me. Our Savior is commanding you, stay close to Me. Stay close to Me. Listen, my friend, there are so many perils that you are going to face on your spiritual journey. And Jesus is instructing you, yea, commanding you, stay close to Him. Abide in Him. The busyness of life, the cares of this life, Jesus is commanding you, stay close to Him. Abide in Him. So many ways that we abide in Him. Let's look at this passage. Look at verse 7. This certainly could be a whole other message. How do you abide? Verse 7, if ye abide in Me and My words abide in you.
You shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How do we abide in Him? We abide in Him by abiding in His words. By allowing His words to abide in us and to meditate on His words, to believe His words, to obey His words. Verse 7, He also says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. By abiding in prayer and communing with Him and taking our cares and our needs to Him. This abiding in prayer is how we abide in Him, by asking in His name. He tells us here, He says, and look at verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You know, we abide in Him by abiding in His love. We love Him. We place Him first and foremost in our lives. Not a place of prominence, but the place of preeminence. He and He alone sits on the throne in our heart. And we abide in Him by abiding in His love. We abide in Him by keeping His commandments. We abide in Him by obeying His word, even when circumstances would we think prohibit or excuse, we obey His word and we abide in His commandments. We abide in His love. We love one another. We care for one another. We love, even as we got to use the verse this morning, the verse that we love the one that begat, and we love the ones who are begotten by Him. There from 1 John chapter 5, we abide in His love. You see, how is this fruit produced? We abide in Him. We abide in Him. You see, this abide in me, it's an invitation, it's a commandment. But I want us to see next, it's a revelation. You see, there is a message that Jesus is telling us that we must grasp. You see, look again at verse 5. Verse 4, he's finished with, that you cannot bear fruit. There is no fruitfulness apart from Christ. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Read that last phrase with me. For without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. Listen, if you believe Jesus tonight, you need to put to death any notion of fruitfulness apart from Christ. Without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. See, we must grasp this, because it is not about you. It is not about me. It is about our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we need to understand that. And you know, as we live in truly in the last of the last days and days of apostasy, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that one of the marks of the last days is the false teaching and the false doctrine that prevail. You know, and one of the great tests as to the soundness of any doctrine is, does it glorify God and humble us? Does it glorify God and humble us? Because any doctrine, any teaching, any emphasis that would glorify us, that would exalt us by pilfering some of God's glory, to steal a little bit of the spot. We don't want the spotlight to shine on us. We just want to kind of be on the edge of the spotlight so others can see us a little bit. And we want to shine a little bit. Listen, does it glorify God and does it humble us? Listen, any doctrine that glorifies God and humbles you is true. See, any teaching, any book, any song, That exalts you. And listen, you are loved by the Savior. But listen, when the great God of eternity is reduced to a doting, fawning suitor, something is wrong. When you speak of the love of Christ in terms that exalt you because you're something special, something is wrong. Listen, this there is a revelation that we must understand. Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. There is nothing that you and I can do that is worthwhile apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I spoke a few moments ago about this matter of bearing fruit and how we don't bear fruit by focusing on that fruit and deciding that we need more love in our life or we need more patience in our life. And I want to remind us that that applies to good fruit, but that also applies to bad fruit. You know, in this old flesh, sometimes we'll have a particular sin that we struggle with. And, you know, we want to stop and bearing that bad fruit. But I want to remind you that you don't stop bearing that bad fruit by focusing on that fruit. Yes, we obey the biblical commands to put off and to mortify, to cast aside. But listen, I want to remind you, you're not going to find victory over sin by focusing on a particular sin. You're not going to find victory over sin by hating a particular sin. And yes, you are to hate that sin. But I want to remind us that your focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Savior said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Nothing. Not some things. Not little things. You cannot do anything. Anything. You know, John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, said this: "It requires the same grace to bear with the right spirit a cross word as a cross injury, the breaking of a china plate as the death of an only son." You see, the idea there is that we don't get to take our lives and say, okay, this is big, I need God. This is little, I can handle it myself. See, Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Not big things, not little things. You can do nothing. You see, you need God and the same grace. You need the same grace to respond rightly, you know, to the breaking of a china plate. You know, think about in the context of the home and children, a child helping in the kitchen, being careless or clumsy and shattering that dish, breaking that appliance. And you need the same grace to handle those things and respond rightly in a way that would bring glory to God as dealing with the death of a child. You need God. I need God for everything. Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." You know, I think of the words of that songwriter: "Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him." See, Jesus says, "You can do nothing." You know, how foolish for us to think that, you know, we just need to keep God on our favorites list, you know, so that we can call Him quick should an emergency arise. You know, whenever we get stuck, we'll bring Him in on the situation and we'll bring Him in on our lives. But as long as we can get by without Him, as long as the day is going to be routine and the schedule is going to be ordinary, and you know, we can handle that in our flesh and we can handle that in our own strength. No, my friend, if you are going to bear fruit, you need to understand this. You need to grasp this revelation. Jesus says, "Abide in me, because without me," Jesus says, "ye can do nothing." You know, so much mail comes across my desk that is marketed to pastors. And, you know, anybody and everybody that has a ministry that is successful by human standards, you know, some publisher, some company has put together some kind of a book and marketing plans. And you know, and I feel in the average church in America, the pastor spends their week not in prayer and the ministry of the word, but in strategy sessions. And we need strategies. We need the Spirit's power. See, apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. The Allen Baptist Church, apart from Christ, can do nothing. You see, I want to remind us that as such, I must be seeking God's face. Collectively, we seek God's face and we rely on the means that He has chosen. We trust Him and obey. And listen, there's so much that by earthly standards can bring the people through the doors and so forth. But listen, we need to reject any methods that counterfeit what only He can do, because Jesus says He is the vine, we're the branches, and to bear fruit, we must abide in Him. And I want to finish lastly tonight with this phrase, abide in me. Abide in me is a warning to heed. Abide in me is a warning to heed. Look again at verse 6. Jesus says this, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, Jesus is giving a warning in this imperative, abide in me. What happens to those that don't abide, won't abide? You see, Jesus says you must abide in me, because those that don't abide in me, they will perish. And certainly that is a great explanation as to what is about to take place when Judas arrives at the garden. He's betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus is arrested and tried and crucified. You see, there is a sobering warning for those who will not abide, those that do not belong to Christ. Jesus gives this illustration of branches being collected and burned in a fire, and a very sobering picture of hell itself. See, I want to remind us that, as Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Your faith is not how well you can hold on to Jesus. Jesus is holding on to you. You know, Jesus in John chapter 10 said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, those that abide in Him remain in Him. Those that are not, that do not abide in Him, the Bible makes it very clear, they may have at one point professed faith. They have one point may have professed this connection to the vine and that they belong to Christ, but they do not abide in Christ, and their judgment is sure. And one of the fruits that we got to talk a little bit about when we preached about good fruit was the fruit of the Spirit, faith. You know, and the Spirit of God bears this fruit in the life and heart of a believer. You know, some of you, there's no human explanation for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simply divine fruit that has been born in your life. You know, your personality doesn't lend itself to that kind of faithfulness. But you see, God's fruit is being seen in your life. You see, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. And listen, what searching words. Every one of us must ask ourselves, what is my position in Christ? You know, sometimes people come and say, Pastor, I'm just so weary and I'm burned out. And listen, yes, if you're ministering and serving and doing it in the strength and power of the flesh, you will exhaust yourself. You will expend yourself. You will burn out. Listen, I want to remind us that even doing good deeds in the strength of the flesh is not sufficient. You see, we must abide in Him. See, as we this very week abide, every one of us has to ask ourselves, does my spirit reflect this abiding relationship? You see, if you're abiding in Christ, there's a genuine humility. It's not you. Any fruit in your life is Christ. It's Christ in you. You see, there's no place for boasting. There's no look at me and see how far I've come and see how straight I walk and no. There's humility. There's gratitude. So thankful for all that God has done. You understand grace. It's not because you've been faithful. It's because He's been faithful. Your heart is filled with gratitude. And listen, my friend, things are going to happen. We're going to feel the criticism of others and the disdain of others and persecution. And listen, when we respond to that and we're hurt by the criticism, or we're critical ourselves and we feel slighted and things aren't fair, and listen, you've missed the point. You see, we're abiding in Him and we have the life of Christ in us, and we're grateful. You know, to abide in Him, we're filled with desire. Oh, listen, if Christ is the greatest treasure. Brother Kurt was teaching our young people about those parables from Matthew chapter 13. If Christ is the greatest treasure, then what more could we desire than Him? What greater task could you accomplish this week than simply to abide in Him? Oh, I understand you're busy. We're all busy. And there's the pressures of life and to give it a thought. You know, you've got to accomplish this and you've got to do that. But listen, if it's about Him, what should I desire more than Him? Oh, listen, truly, without Him, I can do nothing. See, Jesus spoke to His disciples and speaks to us through His Word, "Abide in Me and I in you." So as we finish the message tonight, I want to ask you, what are you going to do with the truth? You just file it away? No, there's message 101 from the Gospel of John. Another one down. A few more to go. Or are you going to abide in Him? Oh, may God help us all to abide. Abide in Me and I in you. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and let's